Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
And welcome into the Friday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Friday morning. We got a lot to get to coming up on this Friday morning. Josh Ward from WNML in Knoxville will join us at 6:30. We'll look ahead to Tennessee and Vanderbilt coming up this weekend as well. Obviously, lots of football to get to today as well. We'll take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe Rexroad, what's going on? How are we doing?
Doing pretty great, although I kind of feel bad for Michelle for going to I'm calling you out on the radio right now, Michelle. Just tell us the story. I'm not going to
tell the story. Okay, listen. I've been hyping up this comedy show I had tickets to. Last night, I told you guys earlier this week, I said, guys, I'm so excited to see Rob Schneider. I grew up watching the Adam Sandler movies. He was always like right there. And I'm like, so hyped. We got the tickets at the beginning of this week. So then last night, you know, I hosted the Courtside show with Elijah, 6 to 7, go home, get ready. So excited, drive to the comedy show. There's a show before us at 7. And then we were at the 9:15 one. So we can hear people in there. We got there early. And then all of a sudden, everybody's coming out. And we're like, perfect. Okay, we can go wait in line. So I'm like standing there, my friend. And I'm like, oh, this is like a little weird. I'm like looking in the windows. I'm like, oh, all the servers are like counting their tips. I'm like, what's going on? And I'm like, why don't you just recheck the date on this? Like, let's just make sure. It's next Thursday. So I was sad, not going to lie. But then I got Jimmy John's for dinner and all is well in the world.
Well, hey, at least you have something to look forward to for next Thursday. But yes, I will say when I got that text message from you last night, I did laugh. It was pretty funny. It made me laugh.
Also, though, I did get in the mail, which made the night better. I checked my package box in my apartment complex. I did get one of the basketball hoops that goes on the back of the door.
Oh, yeah.
Best purchase ever. But in the box, we set it all up. We set the hoop up. It doesn't come with like a little pump to blow up the basketball. So we were just playing with it and it looks like a football because it's not like blown up yet. But be ready for some videos on Twitter. It's like going to get aggressive.
Deflate gate all over again.
Yeah, well, because you sent us a picture of the hoop and I was like, that's a great gift. Great Valentine's Day gift.
Yes,
it is.
But in the picture, it's like, are they playing with a football? What's going on there?
I know, it did look like a football.
So, by the way, in preparation for Rob Schneider, did you go back and watch the SNL making copies?
I didn't.
See, now
I
you
didn't.
Have time
now
for
I have
this.
Time too.
Dude, you got to know, because you got to know the making copies guy, whatever his name is on SNL.
Yeah.
Now I got
Works
plenty
out
of
well.
Time.
Yeah, you got plenty of time now.
Oh, yeah. There's plenty of preparation time now. Well, Michelle, I hope next week when it comes around and Rob Schneider is actually here, that you have a great time. I think you will. I think this is going to make it even better for you next week.
I hope I can go next Thursday, so.
Yeah, I hope so too.
Yeah, that would stick.
That is fantastic stuff. Joe, I watched the NFL Honors last night, which we'll get to the reason I watched the NFL Honors coming up here in just a few minutes. I got to say, and I know I'm probably in the minority here because obviously people like this stuff and they watch this stuff because there's award shows that you can find in almost literally every walk of life. I don't know that I've ever watched an award show and not cringed half the time with like some of the jokes they make. It's okay. It was fine last night. I'm not saying it was any worse than any other award show. I have discovered at almost 30 years old that I can't do award shows. Like I'm not a big award show guy in any respect of life.
Yeah, I'm mostly with you. you know, like if the Academy Awards would be the only kind of like sometimes if there's like a really good host who's really funny, because that can they can actually do like funny skits and stuff, you know, if it's really good, someone really good doing that, or, you know, you really care about who wins best movie that year, something like that, you know. For the most part, I'm with you. I mean, I haven't watched the Grammys, and I mean, I couldn't tell you. Like, I used to love the Grammys in the 80s when Michael Jackson would moonwalk at the Grammys. Yeah. Okay, that was worth watching. And he, like, you know, was there with, like, Brooke Shields or whatever. But, yeah, for the most part, I agree. And I feel like the sports award shows are just not as funny. No. And you know what? I will make one exception, though. You know what I used to really get into was the MTV.
Oh, yes, Joe. Yes.
Like when Howard Stern came down as Fart Man and stuff. Like, you know, there's some moments in there. But that was now a long time ago. God, that was like 28 years ago. Oh, my God. Depression.
Pre-Michelle.
Yeah.
It was.
Robbie,
it
was. You may have been in diapers, Robbie. While Howard Stern came onto the stage in a Fart Man costume. But if you haven't seen that one, Google that one.
I've not seen that one, so I'll probably need to Google that.
Oh, yeah, no, it's pretty spectacular.
So I don't think too much surprise last night on the big player award side of it. Obviously, TJ Watt winning Defensive Player of the Year, Cooper Kupp winning Offensive Player of the Year, Aaron Rodgers winning MVP for the fourth time. So now he is one behind Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning with 5 MVPs, Aaron Rodgers with 4 MVPs. But the big reason Titans fans watching last night was who was going to win the NFL Coach of the Year award, and it was Mike Vrabel. I think we had a good feeling it would be Mike Vrabel. I think both you and I agreed that Mike Vrabel deserved Coach of the Year. The voting came out, it really wasn't close. I think he got 25 of the first place votes. Mike Vrabel wins the NFL Coach of the Year. I think obviously well-deserved from Vrabel and what he was able to pull off. The 91 players, the number one seed, all these things that we've talked about. Not surprised that Mike Vrabel won, but I think absolutely well-deserved award last night for the Titans head coach.
Yeah, no, I'm not surprised at all. It's well-deserved. I think it was kind of getting obvious, I think, late in the season, and that's when it matters. You know, right before voting, well, what's the discussion around something like that? And I just thought there was so much talk at that point of, one, the Titans, of course, figured out a way to get the one seed, and then all the talk about the 91 players. It was to me kind of obvious. And actually, the voting breakdown, so Teresa sent this out to everybody. So Vrabel, 36, LaFleur, 8, Bisaccia, 3, you know, then Zach Taylor, 2, and someone, you know, just someone who is beholden to Bill Belichick gave him a vote for Coach of the Year. But yeah,
maybe part of Bill Belichick's text chain that goes on there.
No, there
a few
you
of
go.
Those in there.
Right. honestly, maybe it's a little bit surprising that Vrabel won by that much over LaFleur, but I just think there was so much discussion, and that's where a lot of this, like, the bottom line is, voters are influenced by like what's being talked about on the talk shows and things like that. And look, I mean, I think they got it right here. I think they absolutely got it right. There's no way it's easy. And Vrabel even made the point at the end of the year, you know, the 91, you have to keep in mind that it's the new COVID-related new IR rules. They took advantage of those. So the number, you know, wouldn't have been maybe a record number if not for that. But they took advantage of it. Bottom line is, though, can you get guys in a hurry off the street at times, off practice squads, you know, off wherever you're finding them, to actually go out and help you win games? And they did that with a lot of different people who are now fanned out all over the league again. Pretty impressive.
Cedric the Entertainer handing out the award last night to Mike Vrabel. I did not know that I would ever be talking about those two combination of people together, Cedric the Entertainer and Mike Vrabel. But it was good stuff. Vrabel looked like he was enjoying himself last night.
Yeah, and it was good to see. I saw Teresa Walker send out a video from the red carpet, so Vrabel gave her the first question in L.A., as he does in Nashville. So good job there. Good to see that. See some Gover and Teresa pictures from out there on the red carpet. Yeah. Very nice.
Yeah, it was stylish night last night out there in L.A. It was good stuff. You know, it's one of those things. And, you know, by the way, Packers Twitter, upset at Mike Vrabel. Upset. They love him some Matt LaFleur. Thought he should have been Coach of the Year. I'm 0% surprised Mike Vrabel won this award. I am a little surprised by the margin. in what you said, but you know, this is where you have to separate things, because I heard some of this yesterday and I saw some of it on our text line when it came to the Coach of the Year award with Mike Vrabel. It's a regular season award. There's Bengals fans. I had a couple Bengals fans that I saw yesterday just irate that Zach Taylor didn't win it. And he's like, he's in the Super Bowl. What are you talking about?
Right.
It's like, well, that's not eligible, my friend.
Yep.
It's a regular season award.
No, I mean, if you had the voting this week, Zach Taylor probably wins. But
yes,
these are all always regular season awards. And, I mean, from that perspective, by the way, Packers fans, are they're, you know, I mean, you could be just as mad at LaFleur, you know, because of their loss to the Niners. So, no, Zach,
yeah.
I'd love to see the revote right now with the Bengals in the Super Bowl, but yeah. Regular season award and pretty clear cut.
Pretty clear cut, and Mike Vrabel wins the NFL Coach of the Year award. I think the NFL got it right. Why? We'll continue the conversation coming up on the other side. Why there's some out there that are maybe slowly coming around on Mike Vrabel. We'll get to that coming up on the other side. Take your thoughts as well on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. FanDuel Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of Super Bowl 56, and we can't wait for the Rams to take on the Bengals. And to celebrate, new customers can bet $5 to win $280 on either team to win when you use promo code ROB when registering. To get your Super Bowl odds boost, download the FanDuel Sportsbook app, deposit at least $10, and pick your team. I'm going with the Bengals. I've been on the Bengals train and Joe Burrow's train all week long, but you take it any way you want to take it, any way you pick, just do it on FanDuel Sportsbook. There's no better place to bet the Super Bowl 56 than FanDuel Sportsbook. They've got same-game parlays where you can combine small bets for bigger wins, tons of Super Bowl props, and much more. So don't miss your chance to turn $5 into $280. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Use promo code ROB to make every moment more this Super Bowl. Again, that promo code is ROB. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. New users only. A $10 first deposit required. Must wager in designated offer market. A max bonus of $280. Bonus for Tennessee users fulfilled in site credit within 72 hours. Tennessee site credit expires 14 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789.
Titans head coach Mike Vrabel, who just won Coach of the Year. Congratulations.
Thank you.
The first time in Titans history that they have the coach that wins Coach of the Year. What does this award mean to you?
Well, it just means a lot to our players and our staff. I mean, we have a great staff. I love our players. And, you know, we got a lot of work to do. But, you know, I'm proud of, you know, the 91 players that we used this year to help us win 12 games.
What does it say about this team that makes them so special that they were able to overcome losing arguably the most dominant player in the league for half the season in Derrick Henry?
Well, I think everybody understands what their job is. I think they understand what the culture is. And, you know, we always talk about what the culture is, what it looks like when things aren't good. You know, everybody has great culture when you're winning. But, you know, when you have adversity, what's the culture look like then? And so I appreciate that they've bought in, and we've got, you know, we're going to get back to work here pretty soon.
Obviously, the season didn't end exactly the way that you wanted it to. What is it going to take for you guys to be playing in this game next year?
Well, it's going to take, you know, everybody's best effort to continue to condition and work on skills and development and, you know, the mental approach, the physical approach. We're all going to have to do more than what we did last year.
Thanks, Coach. Congratulations.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
That was a chipper Mike Vrabel last night after winning NFL Coach of the Year. Vrabel was in a good mood last night. He looked like he was enjoying himself. Now, again, I don't know that I ever saw him actually take credit, which is a very Mike Vrabel thing to do, which is, I think, a lot of people like. But Vrabel's in a good mood last night. I hope he sits back and enjoys Coach of the Year.
That last question, I can't believe he didn't say, what's it going to take? It's gonna, well, it's going to take Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson.
Well, yeah,
if we
you
get
know.
One of them, we're good. We're going to win it.
I don't know if you see who's on stage right now, but Aaron Rodgers and his hair are on stage right now, and I'm actually making my way backstage as we speak to go talk to him. Would have been awesome.
Yes. But Aaron Rodgers, no decision, huh? Is that
no
that's why I thought you were going to say that. That's why you watched this purely to see if Aaron Rodgers was going to say anything.
Well, it was after the Mike Vrabel stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But he didn't say anything.
Yeah.
He actually said, and Schneidman pointed this out on Twitter last night, he said like three different things that at one point you thought he was going to retire. At one point you thought for sure he's coming back to the Packers. And then at one point you think he's going to free agency or going to be traded. So Nobody knows what's going on. He did say that he will make a decision in the, quote, near future, whatever that means. So the near future, there will be a decision by Aaron Rodgers.
Hopefully it's nearer than later or nearer than farther, further, whatever.
So let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Mark in Ashland City texting in says, my wife was recognized as a music teacher of excellence at the CMA Awards this year. Her and I got to attend for free and is neither a fan of country music or award shows. It was actually a lot of fun. This is coming from Mark in Ashland City. Congratulations. That's awesome. I will say that is the one award experience in my life that I actually did have a good time at. I went to the CMA Awards, was a participant in the CMA Awards and when I was 17 with my best friend, Taylor Swift.
Yes.
Other than that, you know.
Robbie, you're being bashful. You performed at the CMAs.
I did.
We have video, by the way. Do we have video of this? Why have I not seen video of this?
I'm sure it exists somewhere. I'd have to go dig and find it. Now, I will say there were 300 other people around me, so it wasn't just me. But I was there.
You don't have to tell the people that, Rob.
I'm sure that beautiful voice still emerged from the group. You know,
oh, yeah.
It's like a little glow around you, probably.
There's no question about it. Oh. I have performed at the CMA Awards. We're the only show in Nashville, for God's sake, that has people that have performed at the CMA Awards. What do you think, Joe Rex?
That's right. We're the only show that's going to tell it like it is about the CMAs. It's a good one. And, yeah, congratulations, by the way. I would imagine if you're either taking part or getting awarded in one of those, then it's a better experience.
Yeah, I would say so for sure. So what do you think of the perception of Mike Vrabel? Because there's the, you know, we all watch Mike Vrabel here on a daily basis. We see what he does. We see how the team responds. I think it's pretty obvious that players love playing for him. It was interesting that they came out with a video yesterday that the Titans tweeted out of Patrick Mahomes mic'd up at the Pro Bowl. And he was just like, man, I bet Vrabel's an awesome coach. Just talking about, you know, how he was a player and he gets it, but he, you know, holds people accountable as well. So I think it's pretty obvious that Vrabel is pretty popular amongst the players. You know, how do you balance the way that we view it, the way that we think the players view it, and maybe how your deeper dive analytical NFL breaking down every single number you could possibly break down nerds view it? Because sometimes those can be very different.
Well, there are other rankings that came out this week. So I get these emails from Adam Freefeld a lot. He is from Edge Sports, okay? EDJ. And this is a company that basically judges, it's Champion Gaming Group, but they judge NFL coaches by analytics. They judge them by their decisions. So by two things, EPI, which is like these power indexes and, you know, basically just performance on the field. But then CCI is your fourth down play calling, okay? Game-winning calls, you know, basically like aggressive calls in those fourth downs, you know, going with the math, which, of course, is a big thing now in the league, and some people have embraced it and some haven't. Well, Mike Vrabel, first of all, if you're a Packers fan, you can be very excited because Matt LaFleur, for the second year in a row, is the Edge Sports Coach of the Year. So,
Matt LaFleur, sign me up, man.
Analytics, you know, he does what they like, okay? But Mike Vrabel is up to number 7, and he is the most improved coach of the year. So, comeback, he's actually, the official title for Vrabel is Comeback Coach of the Year, Best Improvement. So, which is, I mean, you know, these things, some people will laugh at these things. I'll go through real quick some of the other moving on up. Most Promising Outlook, by the way, Dan Campbell. Confident but weak is Dan Campbell. So he's aggressive. His team's bad. Scared but strong, which is like anti-analytics but a very good team, Bill Belichick. So some of the guys on here like Pete Carroll, Belichick, the older guys, they're kind of, you know, they don't rank high. Some of the younger guys do rank high. Grace Under Fire Award, by the way, is the coach who made the gutsiest call and took a lot of flack for it. Who would you guess that would be?
McCarthy?
Brandon Staley.
Yes.
Yes, yes. Brandon Staley. This is a good place. This is a safe space for Brandon Staley. He can go with these guys and whatever dumb stuff he does, they're going to, hey, it matches up with the analytics. But it's interesting on here. And, you know, a lot of this, again, it's like fourth down. Basically, did you go for it on fourth down is a lot of it. But I'm just, like, in my mind, I'm trying to think, just big picture with Vrabel, was he, like, they, by their count, and by the way, remember, the Titans just added, like, the analytics folks, you know, last summer. Did you think Vrabel was markedly different in some of these things than he was a year ago?
I didn't think so in first blush.
Now, I didn't either.
Obviously, I'm not sitting here running numbers, but it kind of felt like the same approach was basically there for the most part. I did think, you know, obviously as the offense got better with Tannehill taking over at quarterback and Derrick Henry turning into Derrick Henry, I mean, they've gotten more aggressive on fourth downs the last few years because fourth and one, most of the time you're probably going to get it with Ryan Tannehill or Derrick Henry. But I don't feel like there was some gigantic change this year, no.
Well, but the one thing that does come to mind is I remember last year, I think it was these guys, it was either the worst or one, it was at least one of the weakest or most cowardly calls was Vrabel punting to the Ravens, and it ended up being, and it really was kind of against what you would expect from him, you know?
Yes.
Punted to the Ravens. Now, on that particular day, the defense was playing better than the offense, but it turned out to be the wrong call. The defense had already done more than you ever could have expected on that day, and then the Titans couldn't, they held the ball, got first downs, et cetera. Should have gone for it, and that would have been more. I mean, because I think Vrabel, I'd like to see the rankings of Vrabel like going back earlier in his career. I thought that there were times he was too aggressive on fourth downs.
Yeah, I'd be interested to know what all goes into that. It's funny to me, and I was thinking about this yesterday, like just how the new age of coach, you mentioned Staley. Obviously, McVay's a part of this too, LaFleur. Now Mike McDaniel, who's been hired by the Miami Dolphins, which, by the way, can we just point out for a second how amazing it is that Mike McDaniel and Mike Vrabel do the same job, and you look at him, and Mike Vrabel looks like he could still – eat you if he wanted to. And Mike McDaniel looks like a high school chemistry teacher, 5'9", 180 pounds. Love me some Mike McDaniel. If you've ever heard him talk, he's pretty hilarious. But yeah, it's just amazing those two do the same job.
Yeah, no doubt. By the way, real quick on these rankings, just to get people in Nashville, if you really want to get have a laugh. Number two after LaFleur is Frank Reich. Then you got Brandon Staley. Then you got Andy Reid. McDermott, Nick Sirianni coming in six, and then comes Vrabel. So all the way down to the end, the lowest, the worst of not following analytics, okay? Zimmer, David Culley, Mike Tomlin is 31, and someone who I think would probably rank last in just about any category, Joe Judge.
Joe Judge.
So Joe Judge not only just was bad in general, he's bad whatever you think of analytics, I mean, to me, they have a place. They are important. They also should not overrule, overall feel for a situation and all this other information that goes into decisions, right? Which I think maybe they do sometimes with Brandon Staley. Like, that's all I can come up with for him. Like, it's like you're just so married to analytics that you're not just like, we're playing a football game, and, gee, I should probably punt on 4th and 8 for my own 18.
He's going with his chart, just like Butch Jones.
Yeah, right. Yeah, there you go. But interesting, I'm not surprised to see a Zimmer now. It's interesting with Tomlin. A little bit surprised by that. In fact, Junie's here, Mike Tomlin's biggest fan. I'd like to hear his explanation for this.
Well, maybe next year when he gets a quarterback, whoever that is, maybe that changes. Maybe Mike Tomlin next year is the most improved coach, much like Mike Vrabel was this year on this list. What do we think?
Well, if you're 31, that means you got
nowhere to go.
You got a lot. You can grow a lot. But, down near the end of the, you got Pete Carroll, Ron Rivera. So, some of the older guys it kind of adds up, right? And and a lot of the hotshot. I'm trying to think, where's Mr. Hotshot himself here on here? I mean, where is Sean McVay? He's right in the middle. He's 14. So,
maybe perfect balance.
Yeah, that maybe that's it. Sean McVay, 14, Zach Taylor, 19, maybe that's the key, that you're sort of balanced between, making the analytics people happy and using common sense.
Yeah, just put yourself right in the middle. By the way, Aaron Rodgers wins MVP last night. The next person to step foot on stage was Russell Wilson presenting the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award. Mm. So back-to-back, Rodgers and Wilson on the stage. I bet that was something to watch for Jared Stillman.
I was just gonna say, I hope Jared, was not on the Peloton at the time, have a heart attack.
Coming up next, we'll look ahead to Tennessee and Vanderbilt coming up this weekend. Get the state of the Tennessee Vols from Josh Ward from WNML in Knoxville. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Konezovic here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Josh Ward from WNML in Knoxville. Josh, what's going on? How we doing?
Hey, doing great. Good morning.
We appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning, Josh. So let's just start with this. Your initial impressions now that we're deep into SEC play now of this Tennessee basketball team. And my main question for you is, how confident are you that they're really heading in the right direction now offensively based on the way the last three games have gone?
Yeah, I am confident that Tennessee's heading in the right direction, and I think that conversation starts with Josiah Jordan-James because his production has been better, but the way he's been playing, I think, is closer to what his talent is, and that he's been a little more aggressive, attacking more, which I think that has been what's been missing. Often I've said, okay, Josiah needs to figure out ways to get to the free throw line, look at his size advantage, his athleticism advantage against guys he's going up against. But his outside shooting has also improved, and that was the biggest thing I think people were concerned with. And he's sitting shots from the outside. I can't guarantee that's going to continue. But what he's done so far, I think, changes things for his teammates as well. Kennedy Chandler is playing really well. Zakai Ziegler is providing really productive play on both ends of the floor. I think the defense is helping at times set the offense up, and they're able to get the takeaways, 10 turnovers, 10 steals from Ziegler and Chandler the other night. And then Vescovi has just been so solid all season. I'm obviously just talking about the backcourt here, really. So those guys are going to have to lead the way. But what we've seen this past week and a half, I know it's not against the greatest competition, but it was a tough spot, in my opinion, on the road against Mississippi State. And the way that they performed down the stretch, it was really a clutch performance that I don't think was going to happen a month ago, 2 months ago from this team.
No, I agree. And yeah, you know, this is a different team when James hits jumpers. He does so many other things. So he's going to be a key guy. But when he hits shots from the outside too, then it's like, wow, you know, he's got the whole thing. I agree with you. Like, can you count on that? I don't know. But I really like what they've got with those guys. The front court, I'm still concerned, Josh, you know, that Olivier Nkamwa is going to be missed. I think he does some things the other bigs can't do. But I couldn't help but notice, one, the freshman, you know, we've seen Brandon Huntley Hatfield a fair amount this year, and, you know, I think you can see where he can be a good player. But Jonas Adu the other night, I'm like, okay, this could be something down the stretch. Is that an overreaction on my part, or do you feel like he might be, now that he's gotten past all of his issues to be healthy enough to play, that he might actually be a factor here?
Yeah, he might. That's one of my biggest questions moving forward is, okay, Jonas, he's gotten this opportunity. The staff said, hey, let's see what he can do in practice. He played 12 minutes. He had 4 rebounds. If we come back to the offensive end of the floor, I don't know how much to count on from Jonas or Huntley Hatfield. You know, Urosh, I think we know at this point how he'll be able to help you. And then Fulkerson still needs to step up a little more offensively. I don't know if that's going to happen. But back to the freshman, Huntley Hatfield's going to play. And what Jonas did in his first real game for Tennessee, you're on the road in that spot. As I mentioned, I thought it was kind of a tough place to go play against a team with legitimate size, and he held his own. So I think he's going to earn more minutes moving forward. That would be my guess here. And they have bigger tests coming. Let's see what happens against Auburn. Shibwe with Kentucky is going to be really tough. It's tough for anybody, though. Would have been for Olivier, too. So, let's see. But I think Jonas would have been one of the bright spots in terms of, okay, let's see what we can do here in the first game without Olivier and what can happen moving forward. I wouldn't be surprised if his minutes increase as the season goes along. Not considerably, but 15 to 20 minutes. Is that something he can possibly add by the end of the season? I think that's real.
Josh, what do you make of the guard play for Tennessee? Obviously, we all know about Kennedy Chandler and the talent that he brings to the table and the hype that he brought to the table. So you have that going for you if you're Tennessee, and now Zakai Ziegler as well. What do you make of that combo in particular, and what a weapon that could be for Tennessee as they come down the stretch here?
Yeah, those two guys and the freshmen, they had to go through some difficult spots, but that should have been expected. I think with Kennedy Chandler, he came in with such high expectations. I mean, he shows up to Tennessee, and you have people saying, yeah, he's Kyrie Irving. He's Chris Paul. Like, okay, he's maybe, but he's also a true freshman. Let's not expect too much of him right away. So I thought he struggled at times against higher-level competition, but he also showed signs of what his ability really was, and that talk was for real, and it started to come together in SEC play. So I just think he's playing at a really high level. He's making plays on the defensive end. As I mentioned, the five steals he had and Ziegler had, and I can't say enough about Ziegler, and I think everybody else at this point is recognizing, too, what he's able to do. His burst with the basketball, the way he fights on defense. During the game the other night, it appeared that he's on the bench shouting hands up, while Tennessee's on defense. So showing some leadership qualities. And there's more talking on the team. I think Kennedy's more comfortable. Zakai's probably always been comfortable in what he's asked to do. But the guys together are Santi and Josiah Jordan-James. I think that's happening off the court, behind the scenes, when we don't see them, and it's happening on the court when we do. But everybody knows you get to March, you need good guard play, and Kennedy Chandler is as talented as anybody that's going to be out there. And now I think has a better understanding of what he needs to do on both ends of the floor. And Zakai is a really good spark off the bench who's capable of playing 20, 25, up to 30 minutes for Tennessee. So that can be a real weapon for Tennessee when you get to the postseason.
Yeah, I mean, Ziegler's, you know, if things go the way I think they're going to go, which I think he's going to be a four-year player at Tennessee, he's going to be like an all-timer in terms of the fan base. I mean, he's already probably moving up the charts already. It's been so fun to watch, Josh. But
he ranks very high already.
Yeah. The two guys who didn't play, and I assume this is more matchup related in that particular game, but maybe not, because Rick Barnes does seem to be, he likes a bigger lineup. A lot of teams aren't playing with two kind of true bigs at the 4 or 5, but he's done that a fair amount. And I mean, Justin Powell and, you know, Victor Bailey, I mean, I've kind of ruled him out, although it's interesting. He was on the floor at the end of the Texas game, but you know, Justin Powell's a guy I thought might get some more minutes with this Kamwa situation, just because maybe they go small more. That did not happen in the first game. Do you think that's a sign of things to come, or just a one-night situation?
Yeah, my initial reaction is it's probably matchup. We had Mike Schwartz on the show yesterday, and he said, you know, the matchup was definitely a factor in what they had out on the floor for a lot of the game against Mississippi State. So I think part of it will be matchup of what the other team has on the floor. I think it'll be how others play, how Powell performs when he goes in the game, because he did play 7 minutes the other night, but I thought he was going to start. I was surprised when Huntley Hatfield started, but you know, Rick Barnes said after the game that it was the player saying, hey, we need to start Brandon in this game. So I think it'll be matchup. I think it'll be performance within the game, and that could affect Victor Bailey as well, that you know, if somebody else is struggling, he might get an opportunity. If he makes some plays, he'll be able to remain on the game in the game like he did at Texas, but I don't expect a big role from Victor Bailey Jr. moving forward. Powell's a guy that they need, though, I think, because if we're talking about the offense and the ability to hit shots, he has that. And I know that's been said over and over again, but he's also shown it. He had a couple of big threes in the second half against Texas A&M at home. That's what they need from him. But you know, I don't know that he's going to be a 20-minute per game guy, but if he can get some consistent minutes in both the first and second half and play the defense that they expect of him, his offense can, I think, definitely help Tennessee.
Josh Ward from WNML in Knoxville on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, Josh, we've talked about Tennessee and their improvement offensively. You've got a Vanderbilt team coming in on Saturday that gets a big win last week against LSU, seems to be getting better. What do you think of this matchup for the Vols coming up tomorrow against Vandy?
Yeah, this is one that Tennessee needs to be ready for, because the Vols have a 6-game win streak in conference play, and they have that win against Vanderbilt in Nashville, and it's easy to say, hey, we're rolling and everything's great now. We've got Kentucky coming up next. We've already beaten Vanderbilt. We'll be fine here. And, you know, that I think it's pretty obvious that this is a game at home Tennessee should get, but this is also a game that Vanderbilt should think, hey, we could go in and we can play better than we did last time. And Scottie Pippen Jr. is probably thinking, hey, I'll have a better performance here for my team on the floor and give us a chance to win. Vanderbilt should absolutely think that. It's clearly a better team than it's been the last couple of years. So I like Tennessee this weekend. I think the Vols will win the game at home. They've been really good at home, especially against teams where it looks like going in they should be better. But you know, there was the Ole Miss game where Ole Miss almost won in Knoxville, and Florida really made it tough on Tennessee, got off to a great start. So in this one, I'd say the Vols are thinking, let's get out to a really good start like we did against Mississippi State. Every team's going to have its run. But if we kind of control the pace of this game, force turnovers, that'll be a big part of the conversation, then Tennessee should be fine. But let's see, you're starting to get into the rerun time. So a rematch against Vanderbilt, which is where this winning streak started for Tennessee, and then Kentucky to follow on Tuesday. Some of these questions we're asking here in the segment, how much better is Tennessee on offense? Can they keep this going? I think we'll start to get those answers as they go up against teams that have already faced them, have already scouted them before, and know what Tennessee will try to do.
Yeah, and of course Vanderbilt has Rodney Chapman and Liam Robbins this time around. Didn't have them the first time, so they are, you know, I think we may have a good one. I think we may have a good one Saturday. We will see. But Josh, just this recent uprising, but then just take everything into account. And you and I have talked about this a lot. You know, the Kennedy Chandler thing, I think, is a big part of the question of, you know, what is this team's ceiling? You know, is he going to have it all figured out? Because you can see he can just do things that most people can't do out there. What do you feel like right now the ceiling is for this team next month?
I think the ceiling for this team is to get to the second weekend of the tournament, and then, you know, let's see who you're playing, what kind of shot you have. But from a, you know, talent matchup standpoint, because of Chandler and the development we've seen from him as the season has gone along, and what Josiah Jordan James is doing, that is what allows Tennessee, I think, at least to go in and believe it can play with just about anybody. The front court's still a question. I think that's pretty clear. Olivier not being there on the defensive end could end up being a big problem. But offensively, as I said earlier, just the expectation is that it's going to come from the backcourt unless Fulkerson returns to form, and I don't know if that's going to happen. But it's high-end talent with Chandler and Josiah Jordan-James, and Vescovi is doing so many things. He can shoot the basketball. He can make little plays for Tennessee on both ends of the floor, and that matters late in the season. Do they hit free throws? All these questions he asked about every team. If they do, then Tennessee, I think, should feel confident that it can play with anybody. So, yeah, it's always difficult to say beyond the Sweet 16 for just about anybody, but I think this is a team that can definitely get to the second weekend, get to the Sweet 16, and then see how you match up with whatever team you're playing, see if you hit shots and do the little things. But I had a lot of concern with where this team was 5-6 weeks ago in terms of their ability to reach their potential, but they've done things to make me believe they can do it. So if they keep going and Josiah continues to play at this level, he's such a difference maker on defense that I don't think people pay attention to. So much of the conversation was about his outside shooting, but I think a lot of what this team is going to be able to do will be driven by Josiah Jordan-James.
Josh, real quickly, who you got in the Super Bowl coming up this weekend, Cincy or the Rams?
Yeah, I'm on the Rams, picking against Joe Burrow, even though they've, you know, been close to getting knocked out each round. Even in that first one, got dicey there late. But I come back to the defensive front for the Rams. I think Aaron Donald wreaks havoc. You bring in Von Miller for a reason. That's shown up in the postseason as well. And the Rams offense, good enough, big Cooper Kupp game. So if Joe Burrow wins it, then I'll say, you know what, should have seen that he was going to do it, but I'll take the Rams in L.A.
Josh Ward from WNML in Knoxville has been our guest here on Robbie and Rexrow. Josh, great stuff as always, man. Appreciate you taking time to come on with us.
Hey, you got it. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks, Josh.
Absolutely. Josh Ward from WNML in Knoxville here with us on Robbie and Rexrow. We'll come back. We'll react to what Josh had to say there. Take your thoughts on Vanderbilt and Tennessee coming up this weekend. What do you think of this matchup? What do you think Tennessee's basketball ceiling is this year? Hit up our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Well, 102.5 The Game has your chance to win a pair of tickets to the Daytona 500 presented by Social Furniture on Charlotte Avenue in West Nashville. Shop local, shop social. Be listening during the 8 a.m. hour today for the cue to call for your chance to qualify to win a pair of tickets to the Daytona 500 on Sunday, February 20th, and access to the Fan Zone as well. The winner will be announced today in the 5 o'clock hour
with Stillman and Company. So be sure to catch the Daytona 500 on 102.5 The Game, Nashville's official home for NASCAR. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Thanks to Josh Ward for joining us in the last segment. Joe, what do you think of this matchup for Tennessee against Vanderbilt, an improved Vanderbilt team, and a Vanderbilt team that I would assume is way more confident now than they were the last time that they saw Tennessee in this game? What do you think of this matchup tomorrow in Knoxville?
No, I actually think it's a huge opportunity for Vanderbilt. I mean, they are in the situation now where, I mean, look, it's a long shot for certain to look at Vanderbilt and think they could make any kind of run toward the NCAA tournament. However, it was every bit that much of a long shot, if not more, at this point in the season. Let's see, we're going back 5 years. Go back 5 years, Bryce Drew's first season with Vanderbilt. They were pretty bad for a lot of the year. Tennessee came in here, actually, with a freshman, Grant Williams, with a sophomore, Admiral Schofield, carved up this soft zone that Vanderbilt was playing, I thought, way too much. They started playing more man. They started playing some, you know, a decent level of defense, and they got rolling and went into Knoxville and a win at that Tennessee team, which, by the way, that Tennessee team, you know, kind of faded late. It was really good for a lot of the year. Faded late. Vanderbilt kind of flip-flopped on them, made this really kind of astounding run to the NCAA tournament. That's the last time Vanderbilt has been there. The win in Knoxville was a big catalyst. They had other big wins. They beat Florida twice late. Florida was really good back then. But point being, the situation for this team right now going into the game in Knoxville Saturday is actually still a better situation than Vanderbilt was in. Let me go find that date. So that date was deeper into the season. It was deeper into the season, but they were 14-13 going into that game at Tennessee February 22nd. They win 6-7-56. They go on a run. They get into the tournament. This team would have to basically not quite win out, but it would have to be close. And you look at the schedule, there's a lot of tough games. It's also a lot of opportunity. But Vanderbilt, again, did not have Rodney Chapman for a lot of the year. Rodney Chapman is why they beat LSU. He was a huge part of the win over Missouri the other night. He just does everything for this team. He can play the point. Of course, he was a point guard for that great Dayton team that was number one in the country 2 years ago. You can see the difference. And then, you know, hitting shots, he is their best defensive player. It's a huge difference. Now you throw in a 7-footer, Liam Robbins. Haven't seen really anything offensively from him, but having watched him at Minnesota, he's got offensive game. At some point, one of these nights, he's going to go, you know, score 12, 14 points, and they're going to be different because of it. He blocked 4 shots the other night in limited minutes. He's 7-foot. It's just a totally different thing for Vanderbilt to have a big-bodied 7-footer on the floor. So, like, this team looks totally different to Tennessee than the team they saw a few weeks ago here in Nashville. That said, Tennessee, it's not a great timing for Vanderbilt either here because Tennessee is playing so much better. Like, Tennessee right now would thump the Tennessee team that actually almost lost here that night and really needed Zakai Ziegler to kind of give them the boost and the plays late to pull that game out. So I think it could be a high-level game. I think it could be a really good rivalry game. Tennessee cannot allow itself to be looking toward Kentucky here at all.
Well, and my question for Tennessee is this offensive resurgence that we've seen the last 3-4 games, is that real at this point? And look, they're not going to score 85 a night coming down the stretch. I don't think anybody has any illusions of that. But, I mean, you know this, Joe. Earlier this season, they're hard to watch at times offensively. And, you know, they've kind of dug themselves out of that a little bit. I think the roles have been more clearly identified, as Josh Worth pointed out. I mean, when Josiah George James is shooting the way he is, you'll take that every time if you're Rick Barnes and company. Can that continue? Can you continue to get high-level play out of Kennedy Chandler? And, you know, what is their offensive game going to look like? Because, as Josh mentioned, I mean, you're now going through the part of the schedule where these teams have seen you before. They know what you're going to try to do. They're going to try to take some of your strengths away. You know, Vescovi obviously is somebody that teams have played a ton of attention to over the course of this year.
can offensively Tennessee continue to be at the same level as they were the last three or four games? If they can, defensively, I feel pretty good about them as they move forward here. I still don't know that I 100% buy that this is now all of a sudden what they are offensively.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure. Some of this is, it really is as simple as, are you hitting your shots or not? And they've been hitting them. So can you count on that? I think with Vescovy, when they've been able to get him shots, I mean, he's been consistent all year. What this has done with James playing like this, and now, you know, Chandler and Ziegler also continuing to progress, it makes it harder for teams. Like, for a while, teams were seriously just like, all you got to do is not let Vescovy shoot, and, you know, we got a chance to hold their score down. And that's not really the case anymore, especially with James hitting shots. I just don't know with him. I mean, I've always thought he has good shooting form. You know, he's never been a high-level shooter, but the early season slump he was in, to me, that was more the exception than the norm for him. I think you can count on at least a fair amount of shot making and scoring from him. And if you can, again, he's, I mean, at the other end of the floor, he can guard absolutely anyone. He can guard 1 through 4 no problem, really well. He's so important to this team. He's a really good passer. He, you know, rebound. He does everything. But they're sharing the ball. The assists, you know, the assist percentage is very high in the last few games too. So that tells you it's not just hitting shots, it's also extra pass for you know, getting good shots. They've been getting in transition. I mean, I'm sure that there's going to be some stodgy games ahead, because they just, you know, they still don't have inside just someone you can throw it down to when you really need a basket, or you really need to get to the line and just say, okay, throw it to that guy, you know, like they did with Grant Williams. Whenever they got in trouble, throw it to him, something good's going to happen. They don't have that. But you know, Plavsic is a nice player. I agree with Josh Ward. Fulkerson, you know, you'd like to see him step up. There are nights where he looks good, and there are nights where he just looks like he's physically, you know, he can't do much with his opponent in the post. But these freshmen are interesting too, at least more defensively, I think, for Adu, actually rim protection for them. Vanderbilt adds a rim protector. Adu is, whew, man, he has got some length.
Go to thegamenashville.com/deals to check out Nashville's best deals. Valentine's Day next week, and Nashville's best deals is a great place to score last-minute deals. Right now, there are deals from everything from $50 off of the Woodhouse Spa, half off of dining at the Mainstay and Hard Rock Cafe, half off the Brooklyn Bowl, plus $50 free with a purchase of $100 in downtown dollars. Nashville's best deals is your place for Valentine's Day steals. Check out all the deals now at thegamenashville.com/deals. Coming up next, we'll get back into the Super Bowl. How much pressure is on Sean McVay and the Rams and their all-in approach as they head into this matchup? We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.